Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heavenbound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and we are opening the Bible, reflecting on the weekend that was, digging a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also previewing what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. We appreciate you joining us in the middle of the week. Roger, you and I both have had an initial crack at our theme for the year, 2022. We've entitled it, I Am His, He Is Mine. A couple of weeks ago on Sunday morning, I zeroed in on that first, I Am His. This past Sunday, you took us, He is mine.
He is mine. He's my God. And that's a great expression. I think everybody would like to have God in their corner. But what does that really mean? That's what we wanted to kind of look at in this lesson. We began by going to John chapter 20, where we look at doubting Thomas. And he wasn't there when Jesus first appeared to the apostles. And he made that definitive statement that unless I touch him, I will not believe. 8 days pass. Jesus shows up again. Thomas is now there in the presence. The Lord tells him to touch him. There's no indication that Thomas ever really touched him. But then he declares, my Lord and my God. And literally what that means is the Lord of me and the God of me. And so we took that expression, the God of me, and just kind of ran through the New Testament looking at that concept, looking at different concepts of that, and understanding that God knows us, God is the one who made us, and then when we have these principles that he is my God, and I have him and he has me, I'm never really alone, and I'm never unloved. I'm never without any help because God is there. And so we kind of talked about that. We encourage you to go to our website if you haven't already heard that lesson. I'm not going to re-preach it here. So, but it's a wonderful idea, and I love this two-step concept we're having in our theme this year. I am his. That's the front part. I belong with him, but then he is mine. And I think those two things help us as we think about our walk with the Lord.
You know, there are a lot of things that we could bounce off of that sermon here in the middle of the week as we give each other something to think about, allow the seed of that sermon to sink deeper into our hearts. But I figured over the course of the next few minutes, maybe we would look at this in three tiers of our interaction, our relationship with God, really drawing out of your first two points. You talked about how, okay, if he is my God, that speaks to a relationship and it speaks to fellowship. We'll get to those in just a moment. But as I was thinking about, okay, how do I, on an ordinary Wednesday morning or Wednesday afternoon, think of me in light of this God? Maybe tier one would just be, he is. You know, you zeroed in on the phrase, he is mine. We'll talk about the mine in just a moment, but whether I choose to acknowledge him or not, whether I want a relationship with or not, with him or not, the Bible very straightforwardly presents what we could say is tier one. He is. What do we need to understand about that today, Roger?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The book of Hebrews uses that very expression. Hebrews 11, verse 6, the great chapter about faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. He is. You know, when we hear that statement, we feel like there will be a word following that. He is almighty. He is generous. He is merciful. He is vengeful. He is, I mean, we can think of a lot of words that we put behind that, but he just uses the expression, he is. In the book of Colossians, as it talks about Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. So when we begin this first tier here, we talk about who Jesus is or who God is. He is. We understand that he's not like us. Not at all. Sometimes we think that God is just a better version of us, the improved version of us. But he's not. He's not like us, as the Bible says in so many places. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are better than our ways. And so we begin with this idea that he is something that I am not. He is something that I do not have. And he is something that is over all, through all, and in all, as we think about that concept that the Bible teaches us.
It's really a New Testament echo, I would suggest, of how God describes himself to Moses in Exodus. I am who I am. And, of course, that echoes all over the Old Testament. It's how Paul reasons in Romans chapter 1 about how though God is and he created all things and his eternal power and divine nature can be clearly perceived, has been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, there are some who have chosen not to honor him as God or give thanks to him. And he describes how foolish hearts then come to be darkened. He is. Paul in Colossians chapter 1 describes this God through whom all things were created, for whom all things were created. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now, if that's all that we have, right? Tier one, God is. That's amazing, right? That is humbling because, like you said, we're not like that. We have a beginning. We cannot be in two places at once. We most certainly do not know everything. We are finite. The things that we create weaken and eventually pass away. We ourselves are only finite in these physical bodies. And so, okay, tier one, he is. Maybe the best news there is, well, we're not like him, but we're going to try and understand him. Maybe we're going to do our best not to upset him. But the good news is, it's not just tier one, right? You introduced in your sermon, your real first meaty point was, he wants a relationship with us.
And the idea of a relationship, just brings the idea of a friendship, and involves the idea of two people being together, involves time and communication. And the very idea of a relationship is that two people have pulled together. And that's what God wants. He doesn't want just to be up in heaven. We're down here on earth and there's vast differences between us and distance between us. He wants us to have a relationship. That's first spoken of us in the book of Genesis as we think about Adam and Eve in a garden. That's what God wanted. God wanted the closeness. In the book of Genesis chapter 3 verse 8, it talks about God walking in the cool of the day in the garden. So there was something that he had with Adam and Eve, but their sin caused that relationship to be broken. So a relationship is the idea of being with God and having something in common with God and doing something that God wants us to do. And that is really the next level as we think about our relationship with him.
You know, the closest relationship, obviously, that human beings experience between each other is marriage. It strikes me in Song of Solomon, chapter 6 and verse 3, the woman in that poem describes her beloved this way. I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. That sounds familiar, right? That is an echo of our theme for the year, but it's also in the New Testament, right? In passages like Ephesians chapter 5, where as Christians, we are described as the bride of Christ. And even our closest human relationships, husband and wife, in Ephesians chapter 5, the apostle really presents these as a shadow or an echo, if you will, of a greater reality. He says, this mystery is profound, and I'm saying marriage, this relationship between a husband and a wife, refers to Christ and the church. So even our human relationships, I appreciate you bringing up the idea. Relationships were God's idea, right? And they ought to get us thinking about the greatest relationship of all, us with our Creator.
Absolutely. And Paul would end 2 Corinthians 6 by saying, I will be a father to you, and yeah. you will be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. There's that idea. You know, it's more than, you know, what's the difference between a home or a college dorm or an apartment complex? You got a bunch of people living under the same roof, but the difference is in the family, we're all connected. We are related to each other. And there's that care and that love and the looking out for each other. That's what you have in a relationship. You may be in an apartment complex, but your next door neighbor is a stranger to you. And they may not like you, and there may not be no bonds there. That's not what God's wanting. God's wanting something there between us and Him.
God presents Himself as a father. He describes Himself like a mother with a nursing child, tenderness, compassion, selflessness, all of these different relationships, father to child, mother to child, husband to wife. All of that is God's idea. So, okay, if that is tier two, tier one, He is. And that is awesome, but more precious is He is mine and I am His. He wants a relationship with us. And maybe as we're thinking our way through that on our first pass by, that might be where we stop. But I appreciated, Roger, how in your sermon you moved from relationship to fellowship. Why is that such an important thing to understand?
Well, first of all, those two are not the same. You can have a relationship. You can have the same last name as somebody and say, okay, you know, we go through the family tree, we do our ancestry, we are related. Okay, we have a relationship. You are my cousin, you are my uncle, things like that. But there may not be anything there. Fellowship takes it to the next level. And it brings in not only the commonness and the sharing between two people, but it brings in all those who are of like mind, a fellowship of God's people, a fellowship with those who are of kindred mind. You know, in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, as it talks about the contrast between the Old Testament way and the New Testament way. And in the Old Testament, there was God upon the mountain, and there was thunder and lightning, and people were fearful. Then as he transitions that to the New Testament times, he says in verse 22 of Hebrews 12, but you've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to myriads of angels, to the general assembly in the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. Over and over, he says the word two. You've come to this. You've come to this. It's like we're being drawn closer and closer and closer to God. Missing is the fear. Missing is the trembling. What we see is God's arms extended, and what we see is the host of others to encourage us and help us along this way.
You know, one of the things that I think is especially powerful as you think about, okay, you are being drawn near the way you're describing, but I am also being drawn near. And there are people all over the world who are being drawn near to God. That really gets in our minds that I am one part of something much larger than myself. Not only do I have a creator, and not only does he want a relationship with me, but my relationship with him is drawing me into relationship with all of his sons and daughters. I think that's an important thing for all of us to realize in a culture, in an even a spiritual environment at times where some might have the idea, well, okay, I acknowledge that God is my creator and I want a relationship with him. I want a connection with Jesus, but I'm really not interested in the church. I just want tier two, if you will. But nowhere in scripture is it tier three is optional. It makes me think of 1 John chapter 1, where John says, listen, we have seen and heard things that we need to communicate to you. We're proclaiming it that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Really, what we're going from is tier one, He is, to tier two, I am, to tier three, we are.
Absolutely. And sometimes it's hard to see the kingdom larger than our own congregation. We sometimes think, well, this is it. And it's not it. There are brethren all over the state, all over the country, all over the world. And it's that large, large family of God that we are a part of. And so that little kingdom that started as a mustard seed, that started with just a handful of disciples in that one room in Acts chapter 1 and 2, grew to become worldwide. Kingdoms have come and gone, kings have come and gone, wars, pandemics, all kinds of things have come and gone. But God's kingdom thrives, as He promised it in the book of Daniel. It will always endure. That's what we are a part of. And so that's what we share with. Going to heaven, as we think about in the book of Revelation in chapter 7, when He saw that there's people from every tribe, every tongue, so many He could not even count. That's the family of God. That's what we're part of. Together they help us, together we help them as we journey together in this generation which we are.
Roger, 1 Thessalonians has been on both of our minds. I leaned on 1 Thessalonians this past Sunday evening, and I think you're going to be in 1 Thessalonians some this Sunday morning. Before we started recording, you mentioned a powerful verse from 1 Thessalonians 5 that illustrates this.
It does. It says in verse 10, it says, who died, talking about Jesus, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we would just phrase it whether we're alive or dead, whether we're awake or asleep, we will live together with Him. Living together with Jesus. Here or there, we're living with Him. And that's that fellowship. That's that relationship that begins with, I am His and He is mine.
He is. He's our Creator. We are because He wills it to be. He wants a relationship. And He draws us into a beautiful fellowship. What great things to think about here in the middle of the week. As Roger mentioned, and I would certainly echo, if you've not had the opportunity to watch or to listen to this past Sunday morning sermon, you need to get these concepts in your mind. This is our foundation for the entire year as we really dig around in and build on, I am His and He is mine. Roger, we're looking forward to tonight, 7 o'clock p.m. You're going to be teaching in the auditorium.
We're going through a series called The Teacher Jesus. We're looking at how Jesus taught, and tonight we're going to look at how Jesus used the Bible. And just a wonderful lesson how He used the Bible. Some principles we'll get from that about how we should also use the Bible ourselves.
In our Building Blocks track of studies on Wednesdays in January, we've been exploring the rich depths of Exodus 34 verse 5. What is God like? And we've heard that He is the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger. Tonight, Lord willing, we'll talk about this next phrase. He is abounding in steadfast love. We would love to have you join us this evening for Bible classes at 7 o'clock p.m. Roger, you've got the opportunity to preach, Lord willing, this Sunday morning.
And we're going to take it straight from our 1 Thessalonians 5 passage, where He says in verse 10 that we will live together with Him. We're going to talk about this night and day contrast Paul makes in that chapter and the three steps of being with Jesus. And we hope it will help you as you think about your walk with God and see how the apostle paints this as a beautiful picture for us.
Sunday evening, we're looking forward. Every time we have a fifth Sunday, we have a song service. And we're looking forward to singing together, praying together, reading some scripture together. It's going to be a good weekend. I can already tell. Roger, thanks for joining me today. And we appreciate all of you for listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. We would love to have you join us in person or online this evening at 7 o'clock p.m. We're already looking forward to Sunday, the best day of the week. And we would love to have you come and grow with us.